You're listening to the station that takes you off the beaten track from the University of Victoria, CFUV, 101.9 FM, 104.3 on cable, and on the internet, cfuv.uvic.ca.
Guerrilla Radio on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, 104.3 on the cable, and cfuv.uvic.ca everywhere else. Well, we're going to leave the usual format today for a look back at the year ending and forward in attempts at prognostication. There will be music and personal bloviations and perhaps a visit from friends, but before beginning any of that, my shout out to the Christmas season just passed with old friend of the show, Innie Camozzi, and his only wish for Christmas, Caribbean style.
Hey, hey, hey. All I really want for Christmas is to be a little bit more conscious. I don't really have to look expensive and dear. Say on it, do you really wanna deal in Kwanzaa? I'm the ragamuffin in a that differently. Come have a happy New Year. Hey, 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 this is the season. Gonna lick another cup and reason. All my roughneck, take a set, brethren are here. Shay on it, this is not a joke. And I beg you don't laugh and choke. But there's a few things we have to make clear. Hey, all I really want for Christmas is to be a little bit more conscious. I don't really have to look expensive and dear. Say on it, do you really wanna deal in Kwanzaa? I'm the ragamuffin in a that differently. Come have a happy new year. Hey, 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 I am not ill-ill-ill-ill. Yes, I am just chill-ill-ill-ill-ill. So go on, eat your turkey and rice. Say on it, but while you're silly lily Britain, let me ask you one thing. Why you wanna ask Jesus Christ? Hey, all I really want for Christmas is to be a little bit more conscious. I don't really have to look expensive and dear. Say on it, do you really wanna deal in Kwanzaa? I'm the ragamuffin in that different leaf. Come have a happy new year. Hey, yeah. 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 Hey, hey. Santa Claus did not know, sir. Put anything in my pot. True, sir. Yo, are you taking it light? Jingle bells and things won't put me in a spin, cause I've got my head screwed on right. Hey, all I really want for Christmas is to be a little bit more conscious. I don't really have to look expensive and dear. Say on it, do you really wanna deal in Kwanzaa? I'm the ragamuffin in a that different place. Come have a happy new year. Hey, 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 this is the season. Gonna lick another cup and reason. All my roughneck, like I said, brethren are here. Say on it, this is not a joke. And I beg you don't laugh and choke. But there's a few things we have to make clear. Hey, all I really want for Christmas is to be a little bit more conscious. I don't really have to look expensive and dear. crochet on it. Do you really wanna deal in Kwanzaa? I'm the ragamuffin in that differently. Come have a happy new year. Hey, 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 hey. No, all I really want for Christmas is to be a little bit more conscious. Really have a look expensive and dear. Say on it. Do you really wanna deal in Kwanzaa? I'm the ragamuffin in that differently. Come have a happy new year. Hey, 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 hey.
Thank you. In times of great crisis, the world looks to great leaders.
It was a sad Christmas Eve for the Victoria family of Canadian Forces soldier Lieutenant Andrew Nuttall. The UVic alumnus died December 23rd in Afghanistan alongside an unnamed Afghan National Army or ANA soldier in a roadside bomb attack. Reports carried in the Times columnist said Andrew's friends were surprised when he told them of his plans to enter the military and to go to Afghanistan, but he did anyway. And the TC also reported the kind words of Andrew's colleagues and bosses within the Canadian Forces, which reiterated his strong desire to do good for the people of Afghanistan and beyond. Lieutenant Colonel Jerry Walsh said, quote, from the first day I met him, I knew Andrew was special. There was nothing that could get him down. He was everything Canadian, a young man possessed of great energy and enthusiasm for life, and so giving of everything he had to everyone else. The Premier of BC commented too, saying Andrew showed great courage, bravery, and dedication in the service to his country and to all Canadians. So how does Andrew Nuttall's death serve all Canadians? How does Andrew's death serve me? I saw the Department of National Defense photograph of Lieutenant Andrew Richard Nuttall in the newspaper, a young face, just 30, open and expectant, intelligent green hazel eyes and a slightly crooked smile. On his blog site, nutman.info, he wrote about his work in Afghanistan, what he and the Canadian military hoped to achieve there. In his last post, he wrote about the recent extension of his and others' tour with confidence, saying, on one side, the people are frightened, impoverished, and seek nothing but safety and prosperity for their families. On the other side is a very small subset of a combination of extreme Salafists, Muslims, aka seeking to impose an extremist vision of Islam on the entire world, anti-Western mercenaries, and misguided, brainwashed, generally, youths that utilize cowardice, hit-and-run, and IED tactics in order to sway the civilian population of Afghanistan and North America to pull their troops out. Then there is us in the middle, an array of nations trying to combine our traditionally conventional forces and conduct combined operations with the young but capable ANA and young but immature Afghan National Police, ANP, in a barren country with many more needs than just militaristic. Complicated, yes. Confusing, only a bit. Frustrating, unfortunately, too much. And that was from the late Andrew Nuttall. Well, complicated, confusing, and frustrating also describes the sentiments of millions of Canadians who opposed Canada's entanglement in the revenge attacks against Al-Qaeda staged on Afghanistan in October of 2001. Thousands took to the streets then, imploring fellow Canadians not allow our troops be a part of Operation Enduring Freedom, imploring the government not be sucked in and used to follow the way of brute force as first response, all to no avail. What has endured these 8 years since is anything but freedom, unless you count the free reign of corporate war profiteers and the free imposition of militarism upon the nation that once fought for democracy, fought for the peaceful rule of the people over generals and their friends in the war industry. So rest in peace, Andrew Nuttall. I hope you find the peace you and the 136 other Canadians killed in this conflict so far deserved but didn't know when your lives ended. Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, 104.3 on cable, and CFUV.uvic.ca on the net, everywhere else, and Shoutcast. A change of pace for Guerrilla Radio. This week we're doing the year-end review, and which means there's going to be no guests, but Janine will be here in a little while to talk to us about her and Street News' year, this 2009. Just passed. Well, Canada has promised it will end its fruitless military mission in Afghanistan by the end of 2011, it has pledged too to remain involved in the country on other levels, presumably whether the people of Afghanistan wish it or not. It promises a withdrawal without withdrawing, a promise similar to ones made by other members of the coalition of the reluctantly willing countries that followed the U.S. lead into Afghanistan so many years ago. It's a promise made, too, by the new leader of that coalition, President Barack Obama. He also says America's days in Afghanistan are numbered. His promise of eventual retreat has been leveraged in the Congress to increase the number of combat troops and attendant mercenaries deployed to surge democracy into that benighted land before next year's end. Obama laid it all out to the graduating class at the West Point Military Academy in an address that later proved to be merely a warm-up for his acceptance speech to the Nobel Peace Prize Committee. Yes, it's a crazy old world when a guy leading and escalating a global war can be recognized as the planet's preeminent man of peace, but then war makes people crazy, and we've had so much of it this last year and for so many years now. Chris Floyd at Empire Burlesque puts the issuance of the prize in its properly grotesque perspective, writing, "Obama staked his boldest claim to American exceptionalism with a passage that he lifted almost verbatim from his West Point speech just a few days before, when he announced his second massive escalation of the war in Afghanistan. Whatever, quote, whatever mistakes we have made, the plain fact is this: the United States of America has helped underwrite global security for more than six decades with the blood of our citizens and the strength of our arms. The service and sacrifice of our women and our men and women in uniform has promoted peace and prosperity from Germany to Korea and enabled democracy to take hold in places like the Balkans. We have borne this burden not because we seek to impose our will. We have done so out of enlightened self-interest, because we seek a better future for our children and grandchildren, and we believe that their lives will be better if other people's children and grandchildren can live in freedom and prosperity." Now here is chutzpah and hubris raised to the level of the sublime. Obama has taken the words he used to instigate the certain death of thousands of human beings and the acceleration of hatred, extremism, chaos, and brutal corruption around the world, and offered them as justification for the hideous, unabashedly Orwellian doctrine at the core of his speech, "War is peace." In this perverse inversion of values, Obama, as a war maker, is actually a peacemaker, you see, and thus a legitimate heir to the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., who was evoked at several points in the speech. And here we come to what was for me the most revolting part of the speech, and perhaps the most significant too. All the cant about America's altruism and enlightened self-interest in killing millions of people — Indochina was one of the many convenient blank spots in Obama's historical survey — for the sake of all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in our sight. That was just par for the rhetorical course. It was nothing that had not been said many times before, including the references so lauded by Obama's liberal apologists to those inadvertent mistakes America seems to keep making, out of a surfeit of good intentions, no doubt. But I don't think an American president has so openly and directly traduced the work of Martin Luther King Jr. and Mohandas Gandhi before, and to do it while accepting the Nobel Peace Prize, no less. Oh, that sublime brass. And that is from Chris Floyd. Well, a bit of slack maybe cut the current Nobel Committee, considering some of the past honorees, but Obama's speech closes the deal. After 8 years of George W. Bush's through-the-looking-glass presentation of reality, the shadow play farce of empire and its wars will continue with Obama, as it would with whomever was in the White House this year and presumably for the foreseeable future.
In times of great crisis, the world looks to great leaders. Winston Churchill, Franklin Roosevelt. But who did we get? Well, fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. This is a visit to Six Flags Over Mecca. And the rides in this theme park are very, very dangerous.
She flies through the air with the greatest of ease. The beautiful girl in the flying trapeze.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a genuine carnival of old. We have cabinet freak shows and foreign policy roller coasters, multinational corporate clowns and phony media hype men pitching a rigged game that promised something of value but was impossible to win, leaving us to choose the cheap prize that no one really wanted. Forrest W. Gump, a tiny stuffed buffoon, standing on the trophy shelf to the extreme right of his father, Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon.
Hey, you with the red checkered hat on, would you like to see what you've won? A world of adventure is waiting for you behind door number one.
See the puppet show. Return visit from many members of the original cast. We have Dick Cheney as Elmer Fudd, Donald Rumsfeld as Yosemite Sam, and Elizabeth Dole takes the place of Jesse Helms in the role of just plain Goofy.
For tonight's performance, the role of Clarence Thomas will be played by Al Jolson.
Colin Powell plays Pluto, Mickey Mouse's vicious attack dog who seems to have lost or maybe never had any genitalia. It remains the only character in all of Disneyland who cannot speak. This show once featured Ronald Reagan as a marionette for big business, but now the same guys had their hands stuck so far up the tight rectal sphincter of George W. Bush they could operate this guy like a hand puppet.
Behind the red door for only a buck and a half.
Step right up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a shell game. Have the astonishing Ashcroft ask you, which rock is Bin Laden hiding under? And as you stand there mesmerized, you find your pockets have been picked and your civil liberties disappear before your very eyes. While all around you, cheap carnival hucksters cash in with t-shirts that say, God bless the USA. They were made in sweatshops at Bangladesh,
a Muslim country.
While CNN asks, why do they hate us? While all around you, our whole culture can be so distorted it can only be viewed from the funhouse mirror.
Ha, 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 ha.
But these days, when we look into the funhouse mirror, our reflection seems normal. For instance, our president claims that we were attacked because we are the beacon of hope and opportunity, but has absolutely nothing to do with our desire to turn the world into a shopping mall, and our response should be to go out and buy more stuff. New flag for your SUV, $19.95. New SUV, $40,000. Looking more patriotic than your neighbors? Priceless.
Would you like to buy a bottle? We swear you will never grow old. It takes lines from your face. It gets you a date. It cures the common cold.
Though elected by the overwhelming indifference of the American people, public opinion polls now show us generally divided between the patriotic and the jingoistic. 15% saying that the ability to find Afghanistan on a globe should not be a requirement for the commander-in-chief as long as we bomb someone. 23% saying that failure to display a flag does not cover the entirety of your house, lawn, and two-thirds of the sidewalk is signs of militant Islamic tendencies and is grounds for deportation, internment, and in truly egregious cases, that person should be forced to watch a Lee Greenwood concert.
And I'm proud to be an American, or at least I think I'm free to get 6 miles a gallon in my cool Jeep Cherokee. And I will stand up and kick your ass if you're different than me. There ain't no doubt in no one's mind, I love my SUV.
We Americans now long for the golden comfort of the familiar. As our president says, get back to normal. Go to Disneyland. This will show that we are truly the superior culture. Our mighty department stores and strip malls will homogenize every speck of variety, so the only sense of innovation left to us is new and different ways to export supersized blandness to every possible corner in the global theme park. Well, we can have the Hard Rock Cafe, Islamabad. At the food court, we may have trouble convincing Mexicans just what a chalupa supreme really is, but Taco Bell, it's the people's taco.
Registered trademark.
But that's nothing compared to the McMuslim burger, a samosa with cheese, McWhoof and mouth disease, and KFCIA.
The bright lights make you dizzy as the big wheel spins you around. You can almost smell the heavens till the big wheel brings you down.
Yes, indeed, it's Forrest W. Gump. Dressed as a stuttering Wyatt Earp in a bad Ronald Reagan Western, using Ronald Reagan's best lines, we're gonna smoke them out. Wanted, dead or alive. You're either with us, or you're against us.
John Poindexter, Henry Kissinger, where are you dredging
up these
guys?
You're either with us, or you're against us.
Out of your mind?
You're either with us, or you're against us.
Don't you think the guy with his finger on the trigger ought to at least be required to pronounce the word nuclear correctly?
It's like a mantra or a sing-along being sung by Disney-like mechanical heads of state operated by the wonderful Wall Street Wizards of Oz.
Pay no attention to that corporation behind the flag.
But no matter how many times they sing, ruin a perfect wilderness for a quart of natural gas, cut taxes for the rich and give the poor a bath, it all ends with the same old line. It's a small mind after all.
Denise Savoie, Member of Parliament for Victoria. I know this year has been unusually difficult for many among us in our community. So I hope this festive season brings some respite, peace, and happiness to you, your family, and friends. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, joyous winter solstice, and all the best in the new year ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Guerrilla Radio on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, 104.3 on the cable, and cfuv.uvic.ca on the internet around the world in Shoutcast. Joining me now, as off time she does across the course of a year, is Janine Bancroft. Hey, Janine.
Did you have a good Christmas, Chris?
Well, you know, I had a great Christmas. I had a no-present Christmas. Well, that is to say that I decided that, well, I thought that we'd all decided not to, well, anyway. Yeah, it was okay.
So you didn't buy any presents, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You didn't make any presents, you didn't scrounge anything up and re-gift it.
I did a kind of a little bit of that, but not, yeah. Yeah, I was actually kind of I was the guy without the Christmas presents. But I got some nice stuff, and I guess that's what Christmas is all about in the end, isn't it?
That's right. It's just all about what you receive, really, is what it is. Did you go out caroling or anything? You were playing some beautiful Christmas music. Is that Christina's influence?
The Christmas music. Which Christmas music?
Earlier on there was some kind of opera-type stuff going on.
Well, I don't know if you're talking about Requiem by Mr. Mozart there. That was something
Could
I played.
Be.
And the background music is Rachmaninoff, a piano that goes underneath the reading, because you know how tedious reading long passages can be without a little Rachmaninoff underneath it. Rocky, as I call him.
Very nice. There you go. See, you're cultured and everything. And are you going on the levee tour on Friday, the New Year's Day Poor People's Levee Tour?
No, what's that all about?
Oh my gosh, that is one of the best events in town. Art Farquharson, you're familiar with Art, as a wonderful, light-humored advocate for the poor, among other things, folk musician. And he organizes this. He and Rose Henry organize this every year. And he happened to work for the bus company now, so he's able to get a hold of a bus. So we're going to be riding in a bus this year that's quite comfortable. And what it is it's about reminding the politicians that, you know, some of their constituents are, in fact, homeless or poor. And so this is about inviting the poor and homeless and working poor and anyone else who just wants to come along and have some fun. We're meeting at 9 o'clock on January 1st at City Hall, and we'll be participating in the levee. And, of course, the levee dates back to those days when the lord of the manor would open up his house and invite the peasantry who worked for him in, and he would actually feed them, I guess. And
do you
so
know
this
the poor?
Is from that tradition. Am I correct in that?
It just reminds me of Monty Python, you know. Do you know the poor? Oh, you must meet them. You must meet the poor. Of course, they don't have a nickel between them, but then they wouldn't be poor, would they?
Yeah, that's it. And so we go to as many levees as we can. We start at Victoria City Council, and then we'll probably go to Government House and maybe Oak Bay or Langford, or I don't know the schedule yet, but it's
Langford?
Just fun, and we all get delivered back downtown around 5 o'clock. And a couple of QP locals, 50 and 4163, the Victoria Raging Grannies, and the Canadian Auto Workers Local 114 are helping sponsor it this year. So it's just really about, you know, if you don't know any poor people and you want to come hang out for a day, and, you know, it's just a lot of fun.
Wow.
And, you know, the other thing that's really, a couple of things, Chris, but mm-hmm. one is that David Johnson was released from prison on just before Christmas, and so he of course is championed over several years the right to sleep, the idea that homeless people, there aren't enough shelter spaces, there's not shelter in the daytime certainly, and if we need to sleep, we ought to be able to sleep in public places without being arrested for it. It's as simple as that. And so anyways, he was released after 30 days of not eating in jail, and apparently he's doing all right. So we'll just see what the new year holds for him and our struggle here locally. And then, you know, internationally, it's interesting that have you been following the Gaza, the March for Freedom?
Well, I'm not on the mainstream media, or the corporate media, rather, that's for sure. But on the internet, yeah. And but the last I heard, they were stopped at Jordan, at the border between Jordan and. I guess it's the West Bank. I'm not sure if it's Jordan. But
yeah,
against Gaza.
They're stopped, and not only
and
are they
Egypt
stopped, but
well.
Some of them are getting harassed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Starhawk is there, one of many interesting people, but she's blogging, really interesting blog, starhawksblog.org, if you want to check that out. And also, I see Voice of Palestine is going to be broadcasting something to Tuesday night from 8 till 9, something to commemorate the one-year anniversary of the assault from Israel this time last year.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, Operation Cast Lead. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. And, of course, friend John Elmer is in Bethlehem. Last time I spoke to him, it was a regrettably poor quality interview, but I hope to talk to him very soon.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll meet up with these folks if they ever get into Gaza. Hedy Epstein is, I think, at 90 years old or something. She's a Holocaust survivor and who has nothing to do with Zionism, the idea of a purely Jewish state where only Jewish people can live. She said her parents, when she was on Democracy Now!, she said her parents were always against that. That was even before the formation of Israel. And she's begun a hunger strike today.
Yeah. Wow, 90 years old and hunger strike? Wow.
Something like she's 85, 90. I don't know, but she's up there. And yeah, she's going to hunger strike until the Egyptians let them into Gaza, is what she says. So definitely an interesting thing to follow on the alternative media. We won't be hearing anything about it from the corporate media because, why, Chris?
Because they don't care. I don't know why. You tell me.
Well, I would guess that there's a lot of Zionist influence that wants the takeover of the entire Palestinian lands, right? And so why would they support anybody who's working for, solidarity in the region? That wouldn't make sense, is my take on it.
Not one stone. Well, I don't know. What in Gaza, of course, since the bombing that destroyed a lot of the infrastructure in Gaza last year, the blockade has continued, and And they, you know, the Israeli military hasn't allowed building materials, you know, or at least very little amounts of building materials to get back in to try to rebuild. So basically some of these guys are rebuilding using rubble, you know, to, you know, building rubble upon rubble. It's almost biblical in its scope, the destruction that was wrecked upon Gaza last year, and it's winter there too. It's not like Palm Beach or something like that. In the wintertime, it gets cold, so I don't know. There's a lot of homeless people there too.
No, it's really interesting, this Gaza Freedom March, and these people are coming from all over the world and all ages, apparently, to try to draw attention to this. And interestingly, I was on the Power Up website today. You know, that's the one that supports the poor of Berman, and there, you know, I would say there are some Zionist influences there too. So, just questionable motives, I would suggest. And then moving along, we are mourning the passing of Hal Sisson, Chris.
Well, yeah, I just heard this, and some of you that have listened for longer than a year or so may remember Hal. Hal was a local author. And a longtime activist, especially late in his later years with the 9/11 movement. He'd been on the show a couple times here, and I tried to send a link of his last appearance, but it was one of the ones that had been erased by a hacker's attack against Pacific Free Press last year, so I'm going to have to find it and put it back up again. But, poor old Hal, but, you know, he was 89 years old. He'd lived a very full life, a lawyer. He'd been a veteran in the Canadian Air Force and during the war, the Second War, and written, I don't know how many books, 8 or 9 different books, mostly very funny mystery fiction, but he had a very ribald sense of humor, I'll put it that way, and so his books are quite spicy and full of humor and double entendres and all kinds of wicked little things. He passed on Boxing Day.
Yeah, so sending regards to his wife Doreen and the family, we'll miss Hal. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he was.
For sure. And then just quickly, Chris, looking back on a year of street news, you know, I have to just say that is such an incredible little newspaper, and really only because of the wonderful and insightful news and personal stories that people send for publication. I certainly couldn't do it if people didn't volunteer their thoughts and their stories and the information they've collected. And I was looking back over the last year, and I mean, we've covered, you know, the tent city, the idea of a tent city. The Temporary Autonomous Shelter Committee published a survey. We did a whole series on the Hep C and its connection to drug use and transfusions, how to avoid it. We've analyzed social services and looked at some of the inadequacies in the government's mission to whatever, underfund social services or that sort of thing. We've focused on rent evictions, the idea that a landlord can just say, well, look, we're going to be renovating your place, so you're going to have to move out, and then you move out, and then they jack the rent up after they change the carpet, and so nobody can afford it, that sort of thing. We've focused a lot on the Olympics and health cooperatives, alternative health advice. We've looked at the bridge, the funding for the bridge, and the cuts to arts funding in light of all the homelessness and housing challenges that we have. And again, I just really want to thank everybody for participating in the street news. You've written a couple of times for the street news.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you're more than, what, you're in your sixth year now, and or almost six complete, and wow, it's amazing to me. And I still remember all those years ago when you just walked up to me out of the blue and said, Chris, I'm going to publish a newspaper. And okay, Janine, you do that.
Yeah, well, and here we are. I know, I can't believe it's almost 6 years later. It's amazing. So hopefully we got another 6 years in us, and hopefully not. Hopefully things will change, and we can just publish poetry and creative writing, because we'll have solved poverty and homelessness.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be good.
That's my New Year's resolution. You got New Year's resolutions, Chris?
To bring peace to the world, and I'm confident that Guerrilla Radio will be a force in that. Maybe the final straw on the war elephant's back, you know, and it'll all be rainbows and lollipops from there on in. But until then, I guess we're going to have to keep on slogging.
Yeah, Well, we do. Me and your other listener, we appreciate all the work that you put into it.
Well, it's nice to be appreciated. Thank you, listener. Okay, well, Janine, of course, the street news alternating Thursday mornings at 11 a.m. right here at CFUV. Winds of Change. I've got my shoes on backwards today. And the street news, as we've discussed. And your website, JanineBancroft.blogspot.com, and where you can find a lot of stuff. And you got another site as well, right, Janine?
Well, I'm doing a lot of Facebook these days. I quite enjoy the Facebook.
All right. So how does somebody find your Facebook? They just go to the Facebook homepage?
That's my name.
Janine Bancroft. All right, Janine. Well, thanks a lot, and thanks for being on for this year and all the many years before that. I couldn't do it without you, for sure. And hoping for the best in the new year. I'm going to do a little music break here and play a local lad, at least a transplanted lad, that you'll appreciate, Janine. It's Alex Kuba. Till the next year.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
See you next year.
Adios.
Hablar tu voz me dio la sensación que nos unió hoy para siempre. Jamás me enamoré así como esta vez, sin miedo a caminar en el umbral de una ilusión. Ya no tengo sueño. Solo me ocultan la verdad. Tú me has dado el beso más profundo, el amor y la felicidad. Que nos unió hoy para siempre. Jamás me enamoré así como esta vez, sin miedo a caminar en el umbral de una ilusión. Ya no tengo sueños imposibles que solo me ocurren. Tengo sueños imposibles que solo me ocultan la verdad. Tú me has dado el beso más profundo, el amor y la
back to Grill Radio, CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria, 104.3 on cable, and CFUV.uvic.ca on the internet, everywhere else. Local boy Alex Kuba and his self-titled album, and that's Hoy Para Siempre. Nice, I like that. Well, fresh from his triumph before the Nobel Committee, Obama appeared in the waning hours of the last days of the COP15 United Nations Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen. It was for him to arrive as hero savior of the fractious CO2 negotiations or prove the talks scuttling goat most predicted the U.S. would be. Either way, the summit crashed. The kinds of industrial and consumer pollution reductions necessary to provide the natural world the time to regenerate the atmosphere and humankind the time to invent its way out of a potential species-ending catastrophe, being left off the table. All that seems to have come from it, not yet 2 weeks after the fact, is weasel-worded deals between major polluters and vague offers of payoffs for the worst affected by the rich, as though throwing money at the poor and carbon trading schemes at the atmosphere will change the verdict physics demands, or so the scientists say, anyway. At the close of 2009, there's still debate in the media about that science stuff. And how could it be true when Stephen Harper and the government he runs is buying further into the tar, oil, and car businesses? He wouldn't steer the country down a globe-killing dead-end course, would he? In British Columbia, the famously conservative BC Liberals are, too, promoting vast energy developments, fossil fuels, pipelines, mega dams, mining, forestry, and all resource industries are priority number one for the Liberals and their leader, Gordon Campbell. That's why it's all the more strange, and more than one eyebrow went up in BC to see the same Gordon Campbell feted as climate hero in Copenhagen by green paragon Sephora Berman, no less. It's a queer climate that would see the province's entire water cycle privatized, transforming every viable river and creek flow into the hands of privateers, inevitably bringing irreparable damage to existing natural conditions. The so-called run of rivers is the project pairing the improbably green Gordon with once media darling of Clayquot Sound, Sephora Berman, the same Berman recently reanointed by BC's corporate press as the province's queen of green. The sacrifice of the entirety of the province's wild water courses is all in the name of climate change. Or so say the press releases.
Beans, stick a monkey wrench in the big machines. Our design refined, well defined, is to hit them in the bottom line. Hit them in the bottom line, hit them in the bottom line. Our design refined, well defined, hit them in the bottom line. Hope the owners seem all powerful and the watchdogs on the take. If you're sick or homeless, working poor, what difference can you make? International corporations dominate the economy. Politicians pretend your rights to defend. Nothing's as it looks to be. If your vote don't count for beans, stick a monkey wrench in the big machines. Undermine, resign, but leave a sign. Hit them in the bottom. Hit 'em in the bottom line, hit 'em in the bottom line. Undermine design, but leave a sign, hit 'em in the bottom line. Hope the fascists steal the commons, which they sell to privateers, who reap the gold or whatever they hold, turn them over in a couple of years. And the boss supports the fascists, cause he makes more money that way. You can all go to hell and say farewell to healthcare and holidays. If your vote don't count for beans, stick a monkey wrench in the big machines. Be clandestine, send a valentine, but hit them in the bottom line. Hit them in the bottom line, hit them in the bottom line. Be clandestine, send a valentine, but hit them in the bottom line. Thank you.
Last year at this time, the bombing of Gaza was well underway. Israel's Operation Cast Lead saw 22 days of determined destruction of Gaza's civil infrastructure and the murder of more than 1,500 people. Thousands more were wounded, tens of thousands rendered homeless. What has happened in the interim? Well, Israel was barely censured, the so-named international community allowing the blockade of prison camp Gaza continue. Even now, millions of aid dollars to Israel and Egypt are devoted to digging the walls of that prison deeper into the earth so the tunnel economy sustaining the imprisoned can also be squashed. The better to starve the survivors, I suppose. And as it did last year, a Viva Palestina caravan stand poised to break again the embargo, bringing into Gaza aid that serves more as a symbol than ameliorative to the great need there. Since the Blitz, the homeless and jobless must make do. The houses and businesses destroyed largely lay still in ruins because the Israeli government has forbidden building supplies be allowed in. They could also be used as weapons, they say. The sick must suffer on, too. Medicines are prescribed and in short supply. The new president, who stood silent on the sidelines while Cast Lead spread death and despair across Gaza, his silence signaling the world he is all for Israel and minds little its bombing campaigns, says little still as Israeli jets drop pamphlets threatening more bombs over Gaza. He's not moved by the seizure of houses in Jerusalem or lands in the West Bank. He is, like his predecessor, for Israel, first and last. And goddamn Palestine, anyway.
Friends, a wall that justifies any means for their ends, a wall between Semites, rich and poor, brothers and sisters from not so long before, many feet thick and 20 feet high, no one can look through it and into the eye of a person you might know, to whom you might confide, now just a stranger on the other side. They're building a wall between water and land, so we can eat fruit and they can eat sand. A wall to make sure that our orchards will grow kids can get fat and not need to know of the cities in ruins and the children in fear that your fathers and brothers in tanks might be near. A wall to keep quiet that which you fear most, so you don't have to listen to your grandfather's ghost. They're building a wall between future and past, a wall to keep distant the chambers of gas from the bulldozers' gunships and the tears of a child. Dignity, love, and honor defiled, to remove reality from your facts on the ground. A wall to keep distance the terrible sound of the houses that crumble and the children that die. A wall to keep separate the truth from the lie. They're building a wall, and at such a cost, land, money, and safety, and all the lives lost. A wall made of brick, but bricks can be broken when the people of Zion have finally awoken and said, no more walls, no more refugees, no more keeping people upon their knees. And then the history books will someday recall, before apartheid was ended, they were building a wall.
And David Rovics, of course, from his disc, The Commons. Well, we've come to the end of our look back at 2009. Yeah, it was a gruesome year, as 2008, and all the preceding years have been this last decade of war. I want to thank Janine Bancroft for her ever steady presence here on the program, and all the people at the radio station that help things get off the ground every week. And you, good listener, I'd like to thank you as well and invite you to stay tuned, especially if you're a jazz fan, to Arnold's Rhythm and Ink program, a stalwart here these past decades at CFUV, and also a fond farewell to a great friend of the show, Hal Sisson, and a great guy. And we lost Hal on Boxing Day, and he's off to a better place, one hopes. I'll play myself out with Rocky Rachmaninoff, of course, and until the next year.